Thank you for bearing with me. I just don't have the anointing to get into a deep Bible study tonight. I feel the Spirit just preventing me from doing that. And I'm ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. That's part of the definition, job definition. Haven't had to do the last one yet, but I'm ready. But tonight I want to teach from the Bible, but I don't have the notes to hand out. The intercession notes will handle another night. But I want to talk about praying in the Spirit. There are times why we need this gift and what it means and why we need it. And before I go any further, how many would agree with me that next to your relationship with God, family is the most important thing? You're with me? Some of you are with me? Okay, good. Oh, I gotcha. Because my wife's at the airport, and she's landing in about 20 minutes. So I'm going to keep this short tonight and go get my wife, because she's my priority, okay? But that'll also make me get through the teaching in time. About spiritual gifts, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So I took 3-4 hours to teach this to my workers in Bangladesh one day, and I call this the love sandwich. You've got the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, between 12 and 14, which are about spiritual gifts. So it's like two slices of gifts, and inside is the filling called love. And the sandwich is defined by the filling, not by the bread, right? It's not a tuna sandwich because you cut the bread in the shape of a tuna, but it's peanut butter inside. It's a tuna sandwich if there's tuna inside. So what defines what drives the use of the gifts is love. What's great is I thought I had this down pat. It's a perfect, simple metaphor. I had it all down, did my notes on the plane on the way over, gathered our workers. They did a 12-hour overnight bus ride to get to where we were in this secret location. I pulled this out. Thought I'm going to teach them all about the gifts of the Spirit, and I talked about it as the sandwich, and I went through and I said, any questions? And they put up their hands, and I asked the interpreter, what's the question? And they said, they want to know, what's a sandwich? They don't have that in this culture. So sometimes you think you got it all right and forgot the basics. They don't eat sandwiches, okay? But you do, or at least you know what they are. So tonight I'm going to assume you get the metaphor. And it's a fact that when a young Christian sometimes has gifts like that, we get a little puffed up. I think we're pretty good. We said a prophetic word and it was accurate, and so we think we're hot stuff, you know. And then we outrun our anointing and we get ourselves in trouble and all that. I know that happens, but that doesn't apply to you tonight. But 1 Corinthians 14 is a great chapter. So I've been saved about 3 weeks. I was 15 years old, and I lived here over at Islington and Albion in Etobicoke, and about 100 yards that way was the leader of the wild, crazy, charismatic Jesus People group. And about 100 yards that way was the couple who were part of this strict Mennonite Brethren Church. And I'd actually given my heart to the Lord in their church because I was following their daughter. And they had one set of beliefs and the other had another set. Now, I told you I went into that prayer meeting for the first time in my life and I heard people speaking in tongues. Nobody explained it. And I just thought, wow, there's a lot of different nationalities here. And why is that white-skinned guy sounding like he's from whatever country it was? And I thought, that's interesting. And then I'm with these people 2 days later and they go, you're going to that group. Do they speak in tongues? And I said, what's that? And then they said, like when they speak in language that's, you know, not your learned language. I said, oh, yeah, they do. And they said to me, "That's of the devil." So here I am, Christian for 3 or 4 weeks, and both these people I respect, one says, "Hey, you should speak in tongues." The other says, "That's of the devil." And they gave their proof texts, and they used the same text. One to say you should, and one to say you shouldn't. I remember walking from one house to the other and going, God, like, what's going on? I know they're both saved. They're both Christians. What am I supposed to do with this? So what I did with it was, thank God, I went to a Pentecostal church. And not knowing that they're the ones that speak in tongues, but I just went there because it was close by at Islington and Dixon, or Royal York and Dixon. And I walked in, and of course, the Pentecostal freedom or lack of discipline, whatever way you want to call it, you know, in those days, the people in the choir, they just break out in tongues, you know, when there was a silent spot during the announcements. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I'm just telling you what happened. No judgment. But then they preached a good sermon, and I went up to the altar, and I got down in a place like this, and it's just like, oh, God, I want that gift. I want to speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues. And nothing happened. So a couple weeks later, I'd forgotten about it by now. And I went back to that Pentecostal church where they can't stop speaking in tongues. And the guy preached a message on giving your heart fully to Jesus. And it was a generic message, but as a young Christian, it didn't really matter what scripture you used. I was just so convicted in my life, I'd be in the altar every time. And I went up to the altar and I just said, "Lord, I give you my life." And next thing, some guy comes along and he goes, "Do you speak in tongues, young man?" And I said, "Not yet. You know, not yet." Got my hand down. And he started to tell me about what tongues was. Now, I don't know if any of you are old enough or been around enough, but in the old-time Pentecostal doctrine, until this was the 70s, but he was an old-timer. So until the 60s or the late 50s, they believed you had to tarry, T-A-R-R-Y. You had to wait to get the gifts because the apostles waited, so we need to wait. That's not doctrinally sound because they waited 10 days until the Spirit was poured out. Now he stayed. He can keep going back and forth. He's here. But anyways, he was telling me how long it took. And it was a badge of honor. People would say, "Do you have the baptism?" "Yeah, I got the baptism." "Oh, how long did you tarry?" "I tarried for a year." "Whoa, oh, I tarried for 3 years." Like as if it was a badge of honor that it took me longer to get the gift Jesus said I could have. And so he was trying to tell me about how long it might take in tarrying. And I looked at him, up at him. We're about a minute and a half into this discussion. And I just looked at him and started speaking in tongues instead of English. And he seemed really disappointed. That was too easy. Not supposed to be that easy. And I remember, I could tell I was disappointing him, but I loved what was going on. And everyone's different. But the Lord so filled me that night that I was afraid to answer the phone for a few days because I couldn't speak English. I'd start in tongues because hello was too much like hallelujah. And I would just go, hello. And, you know, I thank God for that this happened to me before I was 3 months old as a Christian. And I'll tell you why I'm really happy about it. Not just because I received something when I was trying to be talked out of it. And then I had some interesting discussions with the Mennonite people, by the way, the Brethren people. And they used some scriptures I'm going to talk about here in a minute or two. But there's nothing like this gift that I've ever received to help me through the dry times. Some mornings I get up and newsflash, spoiler alert, I'm not wildly in the presence of God. Some days I am. Some days the Lord speaks to me at night. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't even want to sleep. I want to get up and go for it and talk to Jesus about what I just heard. I get dreams fairly often. And you know what Joel said and Peter said? Young men shall see visions and old men will dream dreams. I used to have visions, but it's all dreams now, so I get it. I'm old. But there's times when I wake up and I don't feel the presence of God at all. And with your permission, I'm going to show you kind of what I do. I'll just get up and I'll just say, let the dog out, make sure there's no coyotes near the backyard, and have to stand out there and watch the little runt because he'd just be a nice snack for all those animals. So after I've stood on the deck at 5 in the morning, watch my dog sniff everything in the backyard, then I'll just stand there and I'll start going, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say today? I don't even know, Lord. I'm not really even awake yet. So just pray through me. Do you just give words? Just pray through me, Lord. And I'm having fellowship with heaven. I'm letting the God of this universe choose the words that I pray. Wow, that's what tongues is to me. It's spiritual language. I may not know it. I've told you I've had incidences, three in my life, one dramatic when the language is known and that's an Acts 2 type of thing. But Paul makes it clear that one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, that's not bad. That's good. And that was the argument that was used to try to talk me out of my experience. I went back to these people in the brethren home and it says, you see, it says here, one who speaks in a tongue does not, it says where it is, he edifies himself. Verse 4, he speaks in tongue edifies himself. So what? It's not any good because it's you can't use it in the church. And it says there, you shouldn't speak in the tongues. And it says, I would rather speak five words. Where is it there? I would rather speak five words in an understandable language than 1,000 in tongues. Where is that? Somebody can find that for me. So they use these scriptures to say, yeah. And I thought edify must be a bad word. I didn't know. Oh, I shouldn't edify myself. If I speak in tongues, I'm just edifying myself like I'm... I didn't even know what it meant. Then I looked it up. That's not a bad word. Building myself up. And I'd rather speak five words in English for us, intelligible, than 1,000. But that's in the church. Pardon me. Verse 19. So I go to the other guys and they go, listen, if you pray in tongues, it'll edify you. Like, that's a good thing. He says, oh, okay, that's a good thing. And then in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So here is the fact. He says, does everyone speak in tongues? No. Paul says that. Okay. Back there is... where does it say that? He talks about it in chapter 12, but then he says, right at the end of chapter 12. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Then it's obviously the answer is no. But then he says, chapter 14, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And if I had my way, you all would, because it's so useful. So this is the truth. And if you go in the book of Acts, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19 are the main ones. Day of Pentecost, Cornelius, who asked God to reveal himself. He went to Peter. Peter prayed. And as he prayed, they just started speaking in tongues and prophesying. Then you have Acts 19, where they go to Ephesus, where they believed, but they never heard of the Holy Spirit. When they laid their hands on him, they began to receive the gifts. So it's a fact that it's a normal experience in the New Testament. It's normal. It's not part of salvation, i.e. if you don't speak in tongues, you don't go to heaven. There was a branch of Pentecostals that believed that and preached that. And they were in our town before I was in Grimsby, and I actually had to wade through that lie and fight through it because people thought that that's what I believe. That's wrong. It's a gift. It's not salvation. It's a gift. So, but it's normal. It was normal for people. And the use of it is so profound. At times, it's to give a message when we don't know what to say. At other times, it's to penetrate through the spiritual atmosphere and go to heaven. Because when you pray in tongues and you don't know what you're saying, the enemy can't lie to you and rob your faith. Sometimes we're trying to pray something in faith and then the enemy's going, God's never going to listen to that. That's too big. Who do you think you are? When you pray in tongues, you might be praying for, like, I don't know, somebody to be raised from the dead. And the enemy can't mess with that because it's not your mind that's given voice to the words. It's the Spirit's mind using your permission, using your cooperation in your partnership with the Holy Spirit to speak. So we pray to God. Sometimes we intercede in tongues. We pray to God. Sometimes we're just building ourselves up as the Holy Spirit gives the words. Other times there's a message in an intelligible language for someone. There's two things here. I don't see a downside. And number two, I've never met anybody who's received the gift and afterwards said, what's the return policy on this? Can I still get all my effort back? I want to return this gift. I don't know anybody who's had that attitude after they've received the gift. So I hope you're hungry for this. And what I would love for us to do is to stir up the gift that's within us in these days. And secondly, for those that haven't received, you can receive. Now, excuse me. On the very end of a cold here. I'd be happy to take some questions here in a moment. But first, I'll say this in case this answers some questions. I never try to push anybody into this. And you don't have to shout people into this. So back when I was first a Christian, I'm so glad it happened to me the way it did, but often they'd get, hey, there's somebody here who wants a baptism. Hey, get over here. And get sister who and brother him. And we shouted into them. And you know that old joke saying, you know, if they're not doing it, just tell them to say, he bought a Honda, should have bought a Hyundai fast 5 times in a row. He bought a Hyundai, should have bought a Honda, you know. And then it'll sound like tongues even if it isn't, you know. I think that's hilarious. You know, I mean, we do all these things because maybe we lack the presence or faith. I don't know, but I'll just never forget that night when the Holy Spirit just poured out on our church the first time, the first night of the revival, when I said, let's pray, and the Holy Spirit filled the place. 3 hours, I stood there, 3 hours from 7 p.m. to 10, watching what God was doing in a crowd about a little bigger than this. And no ministry team, but just people getting delivered, saved, healed. My 12-year-old son came up. He watched for an hour, and he came up and goes, Dad, I think kids can have this too. I said, great. What do you want, Dave? Just put his hands up, prayed for him. He fell on his back, and his shoe came off. And 12-year-old, you know, with the laces untied. And so his shoe came off, and he started laughing with joy. And then the Lord said, it's time for him to have tongues. Walked over, and I touched his cheek and said, tongues, now. And he burst out in fluent tongues. I love it when it happens that way. It doesn't always happen that way. But it's easier when the Holy Spirit's moving. Now, my son's 41 now. David's 41. And we were talking about that night the other day. And I said, do you remember? He goes, oh, Dad, I think about it all the time, like often. I'll never forget that night. And so, parents, one of the best things you can do for your kids is to somehow, somewhere, sometime, let them have an experience like that. And they'll know that Jesus is real for the rest of their life. Pastor Melody, could I ask you to get me some water? I'm just got a tickle in my throat here. So the way I normally do this is we just... Now, on the other side, so let me explain. On the other side of the scale, nobody that I know has ever received the gift of tongues going like this. It doesn't come that way. Okay? It doesn't come from effort. Thank you. It doesn't come with clenched teeth. Because the dynamics is this. When you want to say something, what happens is, this is a function of the soul. Mind, will, and emotions. You think something, or you feel something, or both. And that thought and that feeling is fed through a speech center and then is given physicality, audible sounds. And so the speech center in humans is different than any other animal. And that's part of the image of God that was placed in us at creation, that we have the ability to form full sentences, abstract thoughts, to put names on people and things and places. The speech function is unique. I know, you know, your dog can recognize some words and can make some sounds, and you know when he wants outside versus when he's scared or whatever it is. I get that, but that's not the same. That's nowhere near what we're talking about. And so your mind and your emotions feel and think something, and your will chooses. I will keep my mouth shut, or I will open my mouth. And then out comes the speech. So when you are born again by the Holy Spirit lives within you. And when you ask to be filled, he soaks you in his presence. And then the gift is this way. The mind of the Spirit chooses what words to say. The mind of the Spirit of God gets access to your speech control center. Your will still says yes or no, but when you say yes, the Holy Spirit's mind puts the words there. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Beautiful thought. Now, children don't learn to speak in a moment, typically, and often this is like weirding out your logic chip here, if you have one. Some people, they're led by their emotions anyways, and they normally can enter in this easier, but some of us are real logic people, and it's hard to do an end run around the logic. And that's where it's really about the hunger. Just fill me, Lord, and let it come. So I often will say to people, it's right to just be saying something very rudimentary, like hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because I'll get some people go, I love you, Lord, fill me, give me the gift, Lord. Go, Lord, let me speak in tongues. But see, your mind is so tight on that prayer. Your mind has to step back and say, I surrender. And your spirit needs to feel what the Holy Spirit's wants to do, and then your will just says, yes, Lord. So your will is just like opening the gate, and you're letting him come through. Now, when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was only a few phrases, but I have literally worked on this gift for years and years and years, and pray in tongues more than the average bear, and I often will say, not often, I'll occasionally say, I'll say, Lord, I want new languages. I want more vocabulary. I want just the same phrases. And some people say, yeah, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, or I got the gift of tongues 13 years ago. Well, I only got like, you know, it's like, feels like one sentence or whatever. Well, that's like saying, you know, I took a vacation in Italy and learned four phrases. Where's the toilet? And turn left, turn right. And I wonder why now, 14 years later, I don't speak Italian. You never practiced it. Never used it. And so some people have an experience, they sit on it and think, well, what good is that? Well, what good is a few phrases? What good is a few phrases? You know, so it's vocabulary. It's language. It's push the boundaries. Give God a chance. Let him speak through you. Let him speak to you. Imagine blessing. I just love listening to the sounds. I love listening to the tones. And I feel like I'm listening to somebody else speak at times. And yeah, I can always turn it off and turn it on. And it's like having plumbing installed in your house. When you have the plumbing, you don't have to worry about the water supply. It's out there. But now you have the choice whether it's on or off in your house. And when the gift is given into your life, you have, it's a gift. You can let it flow whenever you want to let it flow. Then there's moments where the Holy Spirit comes on and you just got to say something, or there's a word, an interpretation. That's ministry. There's times when the tongues comes and it's the Holy Spirit's like, I know what I want to do and you don't. So I'm going to say it through you and I'm going to give an interpretation. And I'm going to do something powerful. So that direction's kind of like that. But often in our private time, it's like this. But if we don't do this, we probably won't be ready for that. Did you get that? That was easy. I love you, Lord, and I bless you, and I thank you for this wonderful gift. I thank you for the beauty of spiritual language. I thank you that you're going to baptize people, you're going to immerse them, you're going to fully cover us and fill us with your presence in these days, and we're going to see great things and miracles and wonders, signs and wonders, because you're real. And Lord, you said, Jesus, I know you're listening tonight. Holy Spirit, take this prayer and tell it straight to Jesus. Jesus, you told us to keep on asking. You told us to be bold. You told us that your Father loves to give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Would you come and do that tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Questions before we move on? Yeah, right on.
So, speaking in tongues, right? So, it's led by the Spirit, right? Correct. So when you were speaking in tongues right now, was it like the words that you were saying, are these words that you remember on how to say it, or it's just strictly the Spirit speaking through you?
Spirit speaking through. Now, this is the cooperation thing. Great question. The cooperation is, he's ready to do this anytime I choose, because I have the gift. So anytime I just kind of open that door, the Holy Spirit will pray. Because the Holy Spirit's praying constantly. The speaking in tongues, once you have the gift, we can pray anytime. And the language, we'll typically have a language that we recognize after a while if we do it often enough. But we can pray for more languages. But it's up to me. I can start and go, and I can stop. But that's the Holy Spirit gave the words. I had no idea which syllables were going to come out. No. And that's the faith part. And that's where we're used to forming the words. And this is the opposite. We surrender and just open the gate and let the Holy Spirit speak the words first. No man. And that's why Paul says you're not supposed to do this in a public meeting. I'm doing it as a teaching point. But when we just do that, it doesn't help anybody. He says people walk in and think you're weird and nuts, and so don't do it, you know. And as I said, when I first Pentecostal church I came in, you know, the people would be in the choir and the announcements would be going on, oh, ba 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 ba. I'm like, whoa, seizure. I'm sorry, but I'm not a church kid. And I walk in and I look at that and go, what's going on here? Right? And so it's basically keep it to yourself, Pray in conversational tones. I mean, these people are yelling it out, right? It's like, and oh, there's another one, and here's another, like, it's weird. So we don't do that in public. But if we do, we do it and then wait for an interpretation. So when it comes to the public ministry of it, it should have interpretation. When I say interpretation, not somebody that knows the language, but by the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit to speak. And does that help? Okay. Yes, sir.
Sometimes it'll just change, right? We'll be praying in the Holy Ghost, and sometimes I'll have to pray, and we'll start praying in the Holy Ghost, and pray, and all of a sudden the tongue just change after a certain time, or a certain period, it could be like 5 months. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that was new, right?
Well, that tells me you have a prayer life.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise God. Some people never even get that far. No, that's true. A lot of it depends, how we do it depends on our personality. God doesn't, you know, say stop being you. But the guidelines are there so that we're not intruding on other people's worship when we're in public. But oh my goodness, privately, like let her rip, okay? Like I have some great times in the car, you know? And I like, you know, Siri's listening to everything you say. And I'm like, yeah, well, interpret that, okay? Put that out there in the data sphere and harvesting my data and find out what you think of me now. I don't know what Google thinks of me or whatever now. I don't know what I'm saying. But other questions? Yes, sir.
Please, I want to know, sometimes you have a long list of what you want to ask from God, and then you set out time for prayer. But you notice that most times you just find yourself in tongues and, okay, you say, no, I wanted to ask God this, and the only way you can now pray with understanding is to disconnect yourself, and then you notice that you're not being mechanical. And if you release yourself again, you're back to that, and you're not sure you're addressing your prayer point. Is there a problem?
That's good, because, well, we're talking about the nine kinds of prayer in this series. So, yeah, this is a different kind of prayer. And the prayer of petition, which is the last kind, when we're asking God for things. I mean, most of us know how boring a prayer list meeting is. You know, which is just a prayer list meeting. We pray for this, you pray for this, you pray for this, you pray for this, and then we pray for this, and then we're done. But there are times when I'll put my list before God and say, I don't know what to pray. You pray. And I'm just believing that for number two on the list, maybe it's my child or something going through something. I say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And I'm just going to pray in tongues now. So I kind of combine it so that my petition, God knows what I need. I don't ask and ask and ask. I ask and I tell the Lord I believe. You know, and then I'll just kind of smother it in tongues sometimes. So I think we can go back and forth at any time. And I don't see why we can't integrate this. And there's times we need to articulate our prayers very clearly. There's times to declare. There's times to speak the prayer of faith. There's times to plead for forgiveness. It's Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Pray at all times with all kinds of prayer and pray in the Spirit. Paul is saying exactly that. Keep the Spirit involved in your prayers, not just praying in tongues, singing, or sometimes it's groans of intercession, but let the Spirit of God be involved in your praying and different kinds of prayer at different times. Now, I'm going to be heading out really soon to the airport, but let's cover a couple more questions. There was one here. Yes, ma'am.
When you speak in tongues, sometimes you understand, sometimes you don't understand. How can we get to understand?
Well, Paul makes it clear that we don't always understand. We edify ourselves. It builds us up, but we trust the Holy Spirit to be praying. And if we need to understand, there's times where I've felt I've spoken in tongues and then interpreted it. And I'll just like, oh, you know, so there's not a formula for that, but if you want to understand, say, Lord, what is it that you're saying? Ask him, and then trust what you're hearing. Yes, ma'am. Catch that? 10 years old, not even asking, just contemplating Jesus. That's the way it ought to happen. No trying to pound it into you at the altar. Just Jesus. I'm going to hand the microphone over to Pastor Melody in a moment, and I'm going to go to the airport, but I'll take one more question. There was one. Oh, okay. We've got a lot of questions here, so last question from the front two pews, because probably they got some. But, yeah.
From the Orthodox and Catholic view, they'll say that speaking in tongues in the Bible is referring to a gift that God gave Paul so he could speak in other languages to preach the word. So how would you, like, defend?
So there is a whole, this is a big question, great question. So that's one version of what we call cessationism. Okay, so it ceased. So the idea that the gifts were used by the apostolic generation, the first generation, because the Bible wasn't complete yet. And so these were gifts that were given. Now we have the word and it's perfect and we don't need the gifts. So I understand the kind of convoluted logic that's brought that. There's a couple of reasons for it. One is, it excuses me from ever having to do anything miraculous or pray for a miracle or whatever. So all I have to do is read the Bible and be a good boy and tithe. So it reduces my Christianity down to a code of ethics and conduct, which is dangerous. Secondly, some people do that just because they haven't understood. And that tradition that Paul had that, it's fine, but the hermeneutic is that he is talking to a church that was speaking in tongues. So it can't just be for Paul, and it can't just be for the apostles, because the book of Acts is our guidebook. It's our playbook. And we see people who didn't know about the Holy Spirit being told by the apostles, well, of course you should have it. Here you go. And then they start prophesying and speaking in tongues. So my question is this. If the book of Acts is not our guidebook, then God left us without any model for how we should live the Christian life. There is no example, just half of a phone call in the form of a letter answering a question that we don't even know what the question is. All we've got to do is get these snippets of letters that are addressing issues. So it's like, okay, now that the old covenant's gone and you're born again, you're all filled with the Spirit, you're going to have to guess what to do with it. Just read these letters and try to figure it out. No, the book of Acts is our guidebook. That's what normal Christianity is. And yes, it's full of miracles, but it's also full of persecution and some suffering and some unanswered prayers. And the letters fill it out to say when these problems occur. So 1 Corinthians 12 is talking to a church that's full of the spiritual gifts and saying, but you're not loving, so it's going to be useless. So the letters and all that are to round out the experience that we see from the book of Acts. This whole idea that the gifts have finished and all that is really unsupportable if you take the whole the book of Acts and the letters. It's very much done as a way to explain why nothing's happening in my life. And watch out for some teachers. They're so good at teaching, they'll teach away all the other gifts. You know, it's not bread that gives life. And our teaching should bring us into the fullness of what God has. Anyways, now I'm preaching, and I want you to stand up with me. I'm going to pray. And yeah, you'd think that now we would have 20 minutes at the altar, right? But we're going to take our dear sister's model here. Just go home and adore Jesus. Tell him tonight before you go to bed, if you've never had this gift and you want it, say, Jesus, I'm going to take what Terry said. I'm taking Luke 11 as my theme song. I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to stop asking. And I'm going to focus on the giver, not the gift. I'm just going to trust you that sometime when I'm listening to my favorite worship song on Spotify or I'm in the worship service here and I'm raising my hands and something seems weird that's coming out of my mouth, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to let it flow. And God's going to give you the gift. So let's agree. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree that we have a Father that gives good gifts. We agree the Holy Spirit is for every one of us who believe. We agree that we all have the Holy Spirit, but that we need to eagerly desire the gifts and that you test our heart by whether or not we ask. So, Lord, we ask and we keep asking for more gifts, more prophetic gifts, more words of knowledge, healings, miracles, faith. We'd be happy with a whole basket full of them, Lord. So, Lord, forgive us for limiting. Forgive us for settling down. We ask that we would grow and receive more in the days to come. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll see you on Sunday.
Okay. Oh, geez. Well, we'll invite Josh and Philip in. And just encourage you to continue in the pursuit that Pastor Terry has given us to seek the Lord. If you're here and you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the sense that you haven't spoken in